This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome to Community Connection on this great Monday morning. Today we have a couple of people who are going to talk to us from OSF. OSF is certainly no stranger on the radio show or in the community. They are great leaders. They just finished up with an awesome event that they host every year, the Festival of Trees participation, and a couple of other great things that they do. And so we have with us Jake Osier and Mia Harrier, and they are from the Community Resource Center. So did you all participate in Festival of Trees?
I did not. Mia, you attended, correct?
I actually was unable to attend this year.
It'll be on our calendar next year.
Yep. Well, I figured they may have put you all to work, but so you got a break this year. This is your retreat.
Again,
just an amazing event that OSF partners with a lot of different things in the community, that being one of them. And with the Community Resource Center, you all are going to tell us about a lot of the great things that you do. So first of all, Jake, tell us about you, what you do at the hospital, that type of thing.
Absolutely. So thanks for having us. My name is Jake Osier, and I have been here at the hospital for about 7 or 8 years. I'm bad at those dates, but I'm with our Community Resource Center, and it is the community outreach and education piece of our hospital. So we actually started with just patient navigation, where we work with different patients and community members to link them to needed social services in the area to help with those social determinants of health. And then we've kind of morphed and formed into one super department for community health, where we do that, but we also take programs out of the community to try to help where we can.
Mm-hmm. And Jake, did you go to school for this? Is this something that you studied or something that you kind of morphed into?
I did. So I always say it because it sounds so cliche, but I've always wanted to help people, but I can't handle the blood and guts of, you know, nursing and being a doctor. So that's where I went into social services. So I actually got my master's degree in gerontology. So social services for older adults with those baby boomers aging. And my first job was here at Chris Healthy Aging with Amy, Marshawn at the time at Brown now. And that was a great opportunity. And then we actually partnered with them at the beginning to start this position. And then I got absorbed to the hospital. So it's kind of my dream job over here.
Mm-hmm. So I know Amy very well, great leader. Yeah. She did an amazing job at Chris and, you know, of course, is in a different position now, but she was an amazing partner for the community to ensure that older folks were being taken care of.
Absolutely. She was one of my first mentors. And I remember she always said that if you're not growing, you're dying kind of thing. And I remember that kept with me here.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So Mia Harrier, tell us about you.
Straight out of high school, went to Eastern Illinois University and got a degree in community health. I wasn't sure what to do with it when I graduated, so I later got my teaching certificate. So I come from the Vermilion County Schools. I spent some time teaching in Hoopston and Bismarck in the county, and came to OSF in March. And it's kind of like going back to my roots. You know, I really enjoyed getting that degree in community health. So it's nice to kind of have the experiences that I gained through teaching as far as ways of organizing myself, ways of putting on successful programming and developing curriculums. But I've enjoyed what I've gotten to do here so far. And I feel like in my second year, it's just going to keep getting better.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That sounds like a perfect marriage, thinking about your careers, because yeah, that would be a perfect coupling, since the community outreach and resources, if that's what you're doing now, that's a great opportunity to expand. And
absolutely.
You know, I know that you, go ahead, Jake.
No, absolutely. I'm sorry.
Yep. Nope. I like that. Jake's a cheer. Absolutely.
That's right.
So it's a great combination, Mia. So we're very happy to have you doing that. And I know with the caravan, which we'll talk about a little later, that deals a lot. I know you're doing a lot of accessing with schools. So Jake, do you all partner with schools in other ways?
We do. So we have our CHOI program, which is the Children's Hospital of Illinois wing of OSF, and they are at the local communities. Sorry, we have our overhead page here going. And we have done hands-only CPR at different schools. And so we've always had that collaboration. They had a Healthy Kids for Life event that they did every year. Obviously, the theme of everyone's conversations these days is COVID changed all that. But so we've always had that connection, but it was not as robust as we'd like. And so Mia has really taken off with that and got us back into the school. So it's great.
Mm-hmm. You know, just a side note with COVID real quick. I can remember about, 15-ish years ago, I was working at DACC and Vermillion County Health Department came in because they were expecting a big influenza outbreak. And so there was a huge, collaboration of what we would do if this hit the community. And I thought, and something that like that would never happen. And then COVID hit and oh my gosh, I mean, you saw that take place. So yep, everyone's still, I think, trying to bounce back and look at how that has reshaped us.
Yeah, those who know me, I'm a very positive person. And I think although that a lot of negatives came along with that, it really set us up for success moving forward of kind of, we do the same thing all the time and how can we do it differently? And there's a lot of opportunities and a lot of freedom to say, hey, let's figure something out and do things new. So that I've loved that the last year of kind of developing new programs and new ways of doing things. So it's been great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it certainly helped us jump forward with technology because we were able to reinvent, even at the college, we were already offering online courses. But of course, we went online overdrive, but we found great opportunities to do hybrid and, things that have remained that have been amazing for the public.
Yeah. And I think pre-COVID, none of us were as good as these Zoom calls and things, but I think we're all used to them now. So that helped. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So, Mia, tell us about your touch within the school system.
So we have developed a program kind of like Jake said, based off of the Healthy Kids for Life called OSF Cares for Kids. We went out to summer camps this past summer and were able to connect with 8 throughout the county. We went to Project Success sites in Hoopston, Oakwood, and Georgetown, as well as Danville, and connected with the Danville Family YMCA and the Boys and Girls Club of Danville. Mm-hmm. As we're talking about all this technology, I'm kind of thinking about our programming. So the way that it's formatted is we have a physical activity component, so encouraging kids to get that 1 hour that they need that's recommended by the CDC of physical activity, and then also talking to them about screen time. So, as we were in COVID, we did, go to a lot of online learning for young people as well as college students and all of us adults. I will never forget being on my first Zoom call and just thinking to myself, what is this? There are 60 people here from the school district. What on earth? But it went from mind blowing now to the norm. So, but kids also, probably had that same, kind of, wow, what is this? And now it's become their norm as well. But the thing is that, their brains are still developing. So the CDC is recommending that children, I believe from the age of 2 to 7 are not to have more than 1 hour of recreational screen time a day. And above that age, it's only 2 hours. So this is, their fun screen time, the time that they spend playing their video games or watching their favorite shows. But as we talk to them about when we're out in the community is the fact that, there is a strong possibility that if they are on their screens more than that 2 hours, it's going to affect and impact the way that their brains grow. So, we encourage the conversations between, students, children, and parents or grown-ups in their lives that, may be able to exercise some control over that device time, but really like making that a shared responsibility in families.
Mia, I love that because, you can't go anywhere without actually seeing a baby with some mom's iPhone playing on it. And, that's okay. But again, as you're saying, there are so many developments that are happening. And, with as fast as a game, for instance, is moving, it's hard to process that as a child. So I love that that's one of your messages.
Right. And Oh, I was just going to say, nobody's perfect. You know, I go out and I talk to, you know, these kids and families about this, but, you know, I'm a mom too. I have an 11-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old. So I'm not going to, you know, stand on a soapbox and say, my kids never, because they do. But the fact of the matter is that we want them to be as healthy as possible.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and continue the conversation. Welcome back to Community Connection. We have Jake Osier and Mia Harrier here from OSF, and they are talking about the Community Resource Center. And we were just talking about the CARES for Kids. Jake or Mia, do you want to expand that to the caravan?
Yeah, I can start talking about a caravan. So the caravan was another generous donation from our Hegler Foundation. They gifted us with a vehicle and then some operating funds for the first 3 years, and it really gave us an opportunity to bring health care to individuals or communities that may have trouble accessing those traditional means of health care. So we were really excited to get this gift. And so we're about 1 year in, and the first year was kind of getting it set up, getting the IT on it, getting the word and the message out. So we've really started taking it to community events. We took it out to the parade. We were actually Festival of Lights. We got on top of it and decorated with lights. So that was really fun. Just kind of introducing it to the community. And we got a lot of feedback. We were able to kind of assess the need and where it may be used the best of its ability. So we have a lot of things to learn from it. And then year two, we're going to partner with our medical group and then start delivering those needed services. So we're looking at the medical side. Can we go out and do screenings, vaccination, things like that? And then also the dental. So the dental was a huge piece to it. There's actually 2 dental carts on the caravan. So a dentist could join us. We could go out to schools. We could go out to low-income neighborhoods and try to do screenings and things with that. And we're working with the local dentist to try to make that happen in year two.
That's amazing. So walk me through the caravan. What does it look like on the inside?
It is it has 2 identical exam rooms. They each have a exam chair. They have a dental cart, and then it has a middle area where it expands out and for kind of check in and do lab draws in there as well. It has a bathroom, and it has a place to drive it that looks like a cockpit of an airplane. It was very intimidating when I walked into it, but it's kind of all the control. So it's a 40-foot bus, Mia?
Yeah, at least I think that's what it is. It's pushing the road limits for what you're able to have out there.
But me and Mia both drive, and we've gotten to know the vehicle pretty well over the first year, so it's wonderful.
I was just going to ask, who's the driver?
We both got our Class C license. You needed a Class C to drive it.
We both do. When I applied for this job, a big part of what I saw in the job description was, you know, the caravan and the license and this, that, and the other. And when I came in to interview with Jake, he was like, we really just want a good community health educator. And, you know, if the caravan is intimidating, don't worry about that part of it. And I was just kind of like, I've got this.
Yeah, I drive a Ford Fusion. So the first, you know, then I'm going to a diesel engine bus, you know, so it was a little different, but it's certainly, you know, just I learned actually, we went out to a class at DAC to do like a CDL training, and their best advice was the best way to go backwards is to not go backwards. You know, so make it so you don't have to go in reverse. But no, it's a wonderful bus, and we appreciate the donation.
Well, Jake, it wouldn't be beyond me to call Pete at DAC and say, can you come back this up? I'm at this.
That's who I work with. Pete took me to get my license, so he was wonderful.
Yep, Pete's an awesome guy. So, you know, thank you to the Julius W. Hegler II Foundation. They've done so many amazing things in our community. And, you know, we will not forget the generosity of that family and of that foundation. So a huge thank you to them. One of the things that you were talking about, you know, was assessing health needs. So tell me about the community health assessment.
Yeah, so we are a part of an executive collaboration group here in Danville, and we actually work with the Champaign team as well. It's with ourselves, Carl, Public Health, United Way, hopefully, and the mental health boards, so Jim as well. And we all work together every 3 years, and we do a community needs assessment. And then based on that, we come up with priority areas. The priority areas this time were mental health, income poverty, healthy behaviors, and I'm going slow so I can think of the fourth one.
And violence,
correct. So we have four, the community identified four needs, and then we use that as a local hospital then to shape our programs around social services. And we develop a local implementation strategy from OSF here in Danville to say, what are we going to do to try to help in those areas? And it, again, it really guides me and Mia's work.
Mm-hmm. Well, the caravan, I mean, that's just an amazing opportunity. And as you said, to go out to places where maybe people don't have the means to go to doctor's offices. And, you know, sometimes depending on what type of funding or insurance you have, you're limited as to what you can do. So this is an amazing opportunity for OSF to really reach out to the community.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your work on that. I think it's a great opportunity. So with the health assessment needs, you know, I think it's important. You said that you do that every 3 years, and there are huge collaborators within that. I've actually participated before, and, you know, the room is filled with probably 75 different people, and plus that assessment's going out all over as surveys. So, you know, just a reminder to people, if you do happen to get one of those surveys, it is really important to give your feedback, because that's what, as Jake is saying, that's what drives programming throughout the county and the state, and that helps us identify needs and make sure we are putting resources towards what needs to be funded.
And I think too, you know, trying to hear from the community what they need instead of us just sitting in our offices and trying to think what we should do for people. So it's really helpful to get input from as many people as we can.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And we do have, based on the four areas of need, we have four community work groups that are up and running. We have with Healthy Behaviors, Joyce Brewitt from the Danville Family YMCA, and I kind of co-facilitate that group. It's brand new, so we're just getting going with it, but we're setting goals and, you know, wanting to make progress there. With our violence, we have the Violence Prevention Task Force, which is led by Tara Wright at the Survivor Resource Center. And we collaborate with the Danville PD, with the Vermilion County Coroner, and several other individuals. We also have with the Income Poverty Group, Mia Hamilton, who leads that. And we look closely at ways that, you know, we can, you know, reduce poverty, reduce food insecurity, encourage employment in Vermilion. And then now I'm going to space on the last one, Jake. Behavioral health. So that's Jim Russell. And then he's strongly supported by Tara Wright with that group as well. You know, with updates on mental health around the county and everything. And these groups have really made a difference in the community, you know, based off of the goals that they've set. The three that were established as I came into this job, you know, as I attended their meetings and got started out here, it was just amazing what they had already accomplished. And they continue to grow. You know, they continue to develop, you know, partnerships that make sense and have, you know, freestanding events that, you know, these groups create. So, I mean, it's the community health needs assessment is a very powerful thing. So I appreciate you, you know, promoting people taking that survey when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. And I actually know all of those people that you mentioned. They are amazing. And I'm like, yep, that's them. That's them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let's take overly name drop, but, you know, we want to give credit where credit is due.
Right.
And they're doing great things.
Well, and I think it's really important, too, to show how, you know, it really is a collaboration and the partnership that OSF is doing. You all are really reaching out and you know, I'm glad that you can name the names, because that says to me that you're not just attending meetings. You're paying attention to what's happening at those meetings. So let's take our last break and then we'll come back and finish the show. Welcome back to the last segment of Community Connection this morning. We have Jake Osier and Mia Harrier with us. They are from the Community Resource Center at OSF. And we were just talking about a collaboration that they're partnering with the Community Health Assessment and how that drives their programming. So Jake, when you see those surveys and you have the meetings and you put it all together, what happens from there at OSF?
So then again, so we have that implementation strategy that we develop, and those go all the way up into our system. So we work with our senior leadership and we say, these are the programs in our hospital that we currently have, and this is kind of our plan for making those better so we can better address those needs. And then it goes all the way up the net, our president, and he approves those. And then we actually do quarterly reports to the sisters of our hospital. One of the main reasons why I'm in my dream job is because I work for Catholic Healthcare and they have a mission side of what they do. And that is my life and my calling. So it's really neat that we report to the sisters every quarter and they look at each one of their hospitals and say, what are you doing to address these needs? And kind of holds us accountable to them. So it's a wonderful program.
Mm-hmm. And Mia, with you bringing curriculum into it, tell me about how you move forward.
So the curriculums that I develop are pretty well directly from the implementation strategy for the hospital. So Jake and I, as we were going through and, you know, collaborating on writing it this year, you know, we looked at some of the things that are newly developed since our last implementation strategy and set goals based around those things. So for example, you know, the summer camps that we were able to reach out to this summer, we'd like to increase that. We have already gone equal to that goal for the school year. We've already been out to 8 after school programs so far this fall, but we have a whole spring semester now to go to. So just continuing to make sure that we're, you know, growing our programming and making the impacts. So we had a meeting the other day. So over the summer, it was 216 children throughout Vermilion County that we were able to reach through Cares for Kids. And then this fall, it's been about another 250. So, you know, nearly 500 kids throughout the county have gotten that message of physical activity and mental health.
Mm-hmm. So Mia, as you move forward to the springs, kind of the same things will be happening?
Yes. I mean, as we go, we're always kind of, you know, looking at ways to improve the program. So even though, you know, we came into the school year with our idea of, you know, this, the physical activity, especially, you know, moving into the colder months, doing something inside, and then the mental health prevention, switching that activity up from the summer, just in case we had students who participated in summer camp who are also in the school program. But we go out there and sometimes we just find that things don't work. So, you know, then it's be flexible and adjust, which was always, you know, a big thing with teaching as well.
Mm-hmm. And going back to COVID, wasn't that the marquee?
Yes.
Be flexible.
Yeah. Adapt, be flexible, you know, roll with the punches, but also, you know, put your best foot forward.
Mm-hmm. So Jake, we have about a minute or so left. How would you like to end it?
Well, I think the one thing to add to Mia's conversation to the Cares for Kids program, we're trying to reach the parents as well. We'd love to join some parent nights and get in front of them and let them know what we're doing with our kiddos and help them spread that message. We also, if I could shamelessly plug, we're a lot of volunteers make this happen. So if people want to volunteer in the community, these are wonderful opportunities to serve their community. So come see us. And thank you, Laura, for having us. This was wonderful.
Oh, you're so welcome to be on. So welcome. Thank you for coming on. So I'm thinking about the Red Vest people as soon as I enter OSF, you know, long standing. I think they've had that forever. So yeah, volunteers and you know, volunteering, I think people think maybe they have to have a you know, like I'm signing up for the rest of my life. You're not. You maybe are an hour a week, couple hours a week, or every other week, or once a month, or just for your specific events, Jake.
Yep. And we fit those needs to the volunteer. I know a lot of people may think you're going into a hospital to volunteer. You may be doing clinical things, but that's not really what it's like. We have different opportunities. You can sit up and greet people as they come in. You can go pass waters and visit patients if you're, you know, more clinical side. And we would fit that. If you can do a Monday for 2 hours once a month, we'd love to have just whatever we can get from you.
Okay, awesome. Mia, I understand that you just recently finished Leadership Tomorrow. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was a wonderful experience.
That's a great learning experience, isn't it?
It sure was. It made me extremely grateful to be a part of this community.
Very good. Well, thank both of you for being on. Again, we've been speaking with Jake Osier and Mia Harrier from OSF. Jake or Mia, if someone has further questions or if they want to know about how maybe they can get into the whole caravan rotation, who would they contact?
They could call us at 443-5611 or email me and Mia or pop in and see us.
Okay, well, thank you both for being here. We appreciate it. We will be back tomorrow. We are actually going to interview Steve Brandy. You all know he's the news person, so it's going to be kind of funny to flip the switch on him. So we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.